apologies that he's not quite as handsome as I am, but I hope you'll listen to
that. It's hard to live up to that. It is good to be here this morning. I'd like to start off by saying buenos dias, and I hope you understand that. It would be much easier for me to get up and just say buenos dias, un gusto de estar aquí con ustedes, vamos a empezar el servicio de esta mañana. But I have to turn that switch off and go to my English switch. I praise the Lord that he has preserved his word in English and in Spanish. We praise the Lord that he has given us the King James Bible in English. He's given us the Reina Valera 1960 in Spanish. And we are excited to know that we still can preach God's word in places that do not accept text that are from the minority text and perversions and all that kind of stuff. It is good to be here with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ face to face. This you don't really know how much you need and how much you love until it gets taken away from you. And after being in Peru for many months, not being able to have this, it is refreshing. It is enjoying. It is discouraging at the same time to know that there are so many that have the freedom and opportunity to be gathered together in God's house and do not take up on that opportunity and that privilege. But we praise God that we are here this morning. We praise God for his protection from all things, not just the virus, but just from those that do evil, that seek to do evil, those that seek to do harm against God's people. We praise God that he has protected us and he is allowing us to travel, allowing me to preach and share God's word wherever I go. This morning, the title of my sermon, I normally don't give titles, but this morning I will give a title, and it is, How is it that you do not understand? How is it that you do not understand? We're going to be looking at the book of Mark today, Mark chapter 8. And I do the same thing as pastor when I'm listening to other preachers. I will jot down some of the nuggets and use those later in my sermons. I hope there may be a nugget for all of you today as you listen to God's word being preached. We're in Mark chapter 8. And good thing about my notes, a lot of times they're in Spanish. So if some other pastor looks at them, they can't steal them. Mark chapter 8, and we begin in verse 14. The word of God says, Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye? Because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember, when I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, How is it that ye do not understand? And that's where we'll concentrate this morning, our focus in the scriptures, to you that are here and you that are listening online. We begin with verse 14, and the word of God says, Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. Now, something that we see about the disciples in this very first verse that we've read is that they were human. Sometimes we have the idea that those that are mentioned in the scriptures are superhuman and that they are super Christians. But we see here that God, the Lord's disciples, had done something that we always do, forget. Have you ever walked into a room planning to do something and then ask yourself, why am I in this room? That's because you're old. No, I'm just kidding. It happens even to the youngest. We go in to do something and our mind gets distracted and we forget. You know, you get to the restroom and you had purposely went in there to brush your teeth and then you forgot. Why am I in here? Or maybe you forgot your teeth. But something happens to us and we forget. Well, we see here that the disciples, they didn't have the greatest of memories either, did they? They had forgotten to bring something that was needed, and that was food for their journey. I know just a few weeks ago, we started out our journey, and it was early in the morning, and we got down the road, and I asked my wife, what'd you bring for breakfast? And it wasn't much. And I said, did you forget we were traveling today? I think she was hoping that the Lord would do a miracle, like we see in the scriptures this morning. But we all forget. We are guilty of that, not just in material things, but yes, in spiritual things. We forget. I think that one of the reasons that the Lord has us gathering together each and every week is that we are quick to forget. As the pastor said, you know, you could hear a message and about 4 weeks later, you could probably hear the same message again and it would almost seem new to you because we forget. I remember as a little guy riding home in the car, Dad would ask, what did you learn in Sunday school? And at first, when I was very young, I could say it was about Jesus. It was always about Jesus. But then as I got a little bit older, he'd say, well, I want a more descriptive explanation of what you learned in Sunday school. Explain to me what about Jesus? And so I would have to force myself to remember. Now, I praise the Lord at a young age, I didn't really have to force myself to remember anything. It was easy to remember things. I was sharing with someone not too long ago that I went through elementary, junior high, and high school with no problems. Never had to study for an exam. Went to college, rarely had to really study for an exam. The Lord allowed me to remember what I had read, what I had studied. But the older we get, we start to use notes. You know, that's why they have it in our phone, a notes application. You open it up and you take notes. My wife sends me the grocery list on those notes because she knows I probably will forget something. Now, I'll come back if she puts on the list 10 things. I'll probably come back with 20, but I'm sure I will have forgotten some of those 10 that she put on the list. Here we see that the disciples, they had forgotten to bring something that was important. They only had one loaf of bread. I'm assuming that there were many on this boat, and that's why they are a little worried. We get to verse 15, the Word of God says, and he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And we see in verse 16, they reasoned among themselves. They start to say, oh man, the Lord is upset. He's upset because he knows we only brought one loaf of bread. Now, remember this, the disciples are hearing the message of God. They're hearing it directly from his mouth. And yet they are thinking on the material things. Their focus is not on the spiritual things. And we see that throughout the New Testament, that the disciples would always take their focus to the things of this earth. The Lord many times spoke in parables so that they would understand. And not just the others that were listening to the parables, but yes, even his own disciples. He wanted to speak in a way that they could all understand. So here the Lord gives them a message and they are completely blinded by what he is saying. You know, he says here, he says, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. We know that the leaven in the scriptures represents sin and pride. And we see that the Pharisees, they took up a lot of pride in their religiosity. They wanted to show others how spiritual they were. Remember that the Pharisees, their spirituality was just external. It was not internal. And that is why the Lord reprimands the Pharisees many times throughout the New Testament. Because they showed as if they were Christians. They showed as if they were followers of Christ. But on the inside, they did not live that. It kind of goes along with our devotion this morning. And I appreciate that devotion because so many claim to be Christians, yet do not have Christ living in them. You see, when the Lord saves us, He seals us with His Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, according to the book of John, leads us into all truth. Yet, many that proclaim to be of Christ are not led into truth. Does that mean that the Holy Spirit is not doing His work? Is it possible that God could lie? No. It means that many that proclaim to have Christ in their life truly do not. And so he says, beware of this sinful pride of the Pharisees to think that they are somehow more spiritual than others. To be focused on their outward expressions having no inward change. But then he goes on and he speaks of the leaven of Herod. And Herod, his pride, his sin of pride was political. He lifted himself up. He wanted others to see how great of a power he was politically. And yes, it is easy to get caught up into politics. I have found myself starting to limit myself to how much news I read on a daily basis. Because I do not want to cross that line of being angry and sinning. I want to be angry and sinning not. And so it is hard, and I've started to watch myself and limit myself to how much I read. And it is important to know what is taking place in the world. We need to know how it is going to affect us as Christians. We need to know when it will be time to close these physical doors of this building and to meet somewhere else. We need to know when we need to be heading for the mountaintops and when we need to be hiding in the woods to praise and worship God as a body of believers. We need to know those things, right? But we also need to limit how much we trust and how much anger we allow in our lives because of politics. It is easy, but let me tell you something. This is just a side note. One of the ways that I've been praying for our politicians is that the Lord would remove all of those that are not called according to His purpose, and that He would save those that are, and that He would cause change. Amen. You see, we believe that the Lord has foreordained us unto salvation, and so I am praying for those that have been chosen, and I am praying that He would remove those that have not been chosen. Amen. We have men that are evil. We have men that want to see the cause of Christ destroyed. We ought to be praying for those that will stand up and those that will fight for us to be able to preach the Word of God. Because, yes, maybe that is not our fight physically, but we ought to fight to share the gospel with every creature.
Amen.
And so we see that Jesus gives them a spiritual warning. Don't be like these people. Don't be like the Pharisees. You know, for someone to say, as a brother read this morning, that people are satisfied with their religion. You know, I wish we could just take that survey and ask how many are satisfied with their church, just in our Baptist churches. You see, many are not satisfied because many times we're not meeting their physical need. Or their want. Many are not satisfied because of the color of their pews or the decoration of their building. We have lost focus.
Amen.
We have lost focus in what our purpose is. You know, someone was talking about pews and chairs, and as you saw in our presentation, we have chairs, we don't have pews, and someone said, "Why is that? Can't be a church without pews." Let me tell you something. It is not the building. It is not the pews. But it is what takes place in that building and in those pews that truly matters.
Amen.
It is our job as we come gathered together and as ministers, it is our job to prepare you for what is out there. It is our job to prepare you to go and take the gospel to others. That is our job. We come together as a body of believers, baptized into one local body. And we come together so we are prepared to take God's word out to others. We are come together to prepare ourselves to live as Christ lived. And yet, our focus so many times, like the disciples, is on the material things of this earth. So many times we are concerned about how much money we have, or where we are going to live, or what we are going to eat. It reminds me of Paul. He said that he learned to be content with whatever the situation was. And then he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, we're so concerned about the virus. I haven't been concerned from the first day. You say, well, Brother Todd, that's being careless. No, it's being dependent. Dependent on Christ. You see, no amount of gloves or masks or rubbing alcohol will keep us from this virus. It is only Christ and Christ alone. Now, I'm not saying that we should be careless and we should disobey if there are certain rules placed down. We have to follow the rules as long as they don't go against God's word. But our dependency should not be on equipment.
Amen.
Our dependency should be on our Heavenly Father. And the one who died for us, His Son. And the one who lives in us, His Holy Spirit. You see, they had taken their focus off of the spiritual things. And we see in verse 16, they said, it is because we have no bread. The Lord's talking about leaven because we didn't bring enough bread. He knows. Who told him? Who told him we only brought one loaf of bread? And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. I am trying to send a message to you. I am trying to speak clearly to you. And yet your focus, once again, is back to the physical, the material. He says, I am trying to prepare you. And yet they are blinded. He says here, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, yet neither understand. Look, I have spent time with you and you still don't get it. And I feel like if we walk into our churches today and we would just take a simple quiz of what the Bible teaches, I believe many would fail. Why is that? Because we are just like the disciples. We have heard the message once and twice and three times and over again, and yet we lack understanding. How many times have you read through the scriptures with understanding? You see, the scriptures always talk about studying the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God. But sometimes we treat the Word of God like it's a race. Let's see if I can read the whole thing through in 1 year. Or in 1 month. Well, that's great. And I'm not saying reading the Word of God is bad, but the Word of God tells us, instructs us to study the Word of God. It does not say just simply read it. How many times have you had your devotions and you're reading the Word of God, and you get down to the end of the chapter and you go, what did I just read? I mean, my eyes did the walking, but my mind was talking. It was doing something else. You get down to the end of the chapter and you go, you know what? I need to read this over again. The Word of God is written for us that we would have understanding, yet we do not understand. And many times it's because we do not read and we do not study. I couldn't imagine going to college and having never studied the books that were given to me. You see, we're big proponents in school. My children are homeschooled. And we're proponents of them reading and understanding and passing tests. We like when they pass tests with good grades. And we motivate them to do well. And we push them to do well. And we get excited about that. But we ourselves don't do that with the Word of God. And so he says, look, these disciples have had an opportunity that even we haven't had, that they physically get to walk with the Lord. They physically get to hear his message, and yet they are blinded by their own human thoughts. He asks a question here. He says, have ye your heart yet hardened? Who do we think of in the scriptures when we talk about a hardened heart? There's one very specific man in the scriptures that we think of, and that would be Pharaoh. He just had that layer of stone around his heart, and his people would suffer. And then he'd say, okay, Moses and Aaron, beg your God to take away this plague, and I'll let your people go. And they would. And then what would happen? His heart would be hardened. Impenetrable. And there would come another plague. And it would be taken away, and then his heart would be hardened again. And again. And again. And I just, when the Lord said this, I just pictured him saying, are you still like Pharaoh? Do you still have that resistance in your heart? And of course, the Lord knew that these were his people. These were his followers. But how were they acting? They were acting like the unregenerated man. That had to hurt, hearing it from the Lord's mouth. And I think sometimes we need to hear it from his mouth. We are acting so many times in our daily lives like the unregenerated. Like we haven't been changed. So we go on in the scriptures. In verse 18, the Lord asks, having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? As a parent, these are kind of some of the same questions we ask our children, aren't they? We'll say things and we'll give them instruction and we'll say, I told you to do this. And they'll say, no, you didn't. I didn't hear you. How many times have we gone through that? You as parents, how many times have you gone through that with your kids? I didn't hear you. I didn't know what you meant. Oh, man, this is what the Lord is saying. Wait a second. I showed you how to do this. I showed you. I was the example. I don't remember that. You see, it's almost like a father getting on his children because this is the relationship he has with them. He loves them so much. He wants them to do better. That's the relationship we have with our children. We want them to do better. And we go, well, are you deaf? Are you blind? Did you not just see me do this? Did you not just hear me give you this instruction? And that's how the Lord is approaching his disciples. And then he goes on in verse 19. He says, when I break the five loaves. Now, if we go over into the scripture into Mark chapter 6, just for a second. Mark chapter 6. Look at what the Word of God says here. Read in verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going. They had no leisure so much as to eat. And they parted into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came, saw so much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread. For they have nothing to eat." And he answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat?" And he said unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And we had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. He looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. Look at verse 43. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fishes, and they did eat of the loaves, were about 5,000 men. That's in Mark chapter 6. We're reading in Mark chapter 8. You see, there wasn't much time just before this had happened. And then we get back to the scripture, and the Lord says in verse 19, "When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up?" They say unto him, 12. He said, "Wait a second, are you blind? Are you deaf? Do you have hardened hearts? Because we just did this. This just happened." How fast we forget. How quick we are to not remember the powerful hand of God. You see, the Lord saves us, and we get excited because He has done what no other could do for us. He has kept us from eternal condemnation. And we get excited and we want to serve the Lord, and then what happens? We forget. We're so excited about seeing a change in our lives, and then we forget. We used to use this phrase about being on fire for Christ, and how quickly that fire just smolders out. You see, here the Lord had just done a miraculous thing, and they're still worried about one loaf of bread. And then we go on to verse 20. He says, "And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up?" And if we just go back in this very same chapter of Mark, chapter 8, look at verse 1, what the Word of God says. "In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, 'I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far.' And his disciples answered him, 'From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?' And he asked them, 'How many loaves have ye?' And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and gave thanks, and brake, and gave to his disciples, and set before them, and they did set them before the people, and they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat, and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets, and they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away." It had just happened. I mean, it had just happened. This should have been fresh in their minds. But you know what? I hate to say this. This message may be fresh in your mind at this very moment. But as soon as you go out to your vehicle and you start the engine, you may be just like one of these disciples. How many times have we gotten home and someone will say, well, how was the message? How was the sermon today? Oh, it was good. What was it about? It's in the book of Mark. It was about fish and bread, I'm pretty sure. You see, the disciples had just witnessed the powerful hand of God, and they had just forgotten. Instead of saying, wow, we have one loaf of bread, no worries, Jesus is with us. If he can feed thousands, he can feed a few of us with just one loaf. So the Lord kind of calls to remembrance what has taken place. And in verse 20, they answered his question. They said, seven. We took up seven baskets of food left over. In verse 21, and he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? We are so worried about this pandemic. We are so worried about job situation. We are so worried about the political situation. And I believe the Lord is saying to us this morning, how is it that ye do not understand? You see, we believe that the stories of the Bible are not just stories, they are history. They actually took place. These are not invented stories. This is part of what has happened on this earth. We believe them to be true. And then the Lord says, how is it that you do not understand? You mean, we read Genesis and we see that the Lord has spoken the universe into existence. And we believe that. How is it that you do not understand? He's taken dirt from the ground and he has formed a man. He has breathed into his nostrils. He takes a rib from that man and forms a woman. And then he asks us, how is it that you do not understand? He takes a prophet that was disobedient and he allows him to be swallowed by a giant fish. And then is sped up upon the beach so that he can go and fulfill his duties. How is it that you do not understand?
Amen.
And then he comes to earth. He gives his life on the cross of Calvary. He sheds his blood. He is buried. He rises again. He takes his blood into the Holy of Holies. One time for always. And he says, how is it that you do not understand? You see, for God nothing is impossible. And yet today we still act as if he cannot control the virus. As if he cannot control the situation in Washington, D.C. We act as if he cannot control the situation in our marriage. We act as if he cannot control our finances. And he says, remember the 5,000. Remember the 4,000. I can do it again.
Amen.
How is it that he do not understand? That is the question I leave with you this morning. When has God given us reason to doubt? When has he given us a reason to believe that he could not do the impossible? You know, I think about this. Little boy growing up outside of the city of Detroit. Born into a poor family. Receiving a public education. One day, to be sent down to Peru as a messenger of God's grace and God's love. How is it that you do not understand? How is it that we have seen God do it once and over again? and we still lack understanding. He wants to do a great work. He has saved us to do a great work through us. He has done the impossible. He saved us from our sins. How is it that you do not understand? Pastor Ross.
Amen. Let's all stand for page number 52. Page number 52.